Okay, let's turn to page 339. And we'll do all four verses of this particular song. And then we'll get our cell phones out, and I'll go get a directory, and we'll start calling people. This is a mystery to me. It doesn't matter. We're here, right? Let's sing, I Shall Not Be Moved. Glory, hallelujah, I shall not be moved. Anchored in Jehovah, I shall not be moved. Just like a tree that's planted by the waters, I shall not be moved. I shall not be moved. I shall not be moved. Just like a tree that's planted by the waters, I shall not be moved. In His love abiding, I shall not be moved. And in Him confiding, I shall not be moved. Just like a tree that's planted by the waters, I shall not be moved. I shall not be moved. Just like a tree that's planted by the waters, I shall not be moved. Though all hell assail me, I shall not be moved. Jesus will not fail me, I shall not be moved. Just like a tree that's planted by the waters, I shall not be moved. I shall not be moved. I shall not be moved. Just like a tree that's planted by the waters, I shall not be moved. Though the tempest rages, I shall not be moved. On the rock of ages, I shall not be moved. Just like a tree that's planted by the waters, I shall not be moved. I shall not be moved. I shall not be moved. Just like a tree that's planted by the waters, I shall not be moved. I think you figured out the problem, Scott. Well, Scott, I got to tell you, Stacy's one that turned it on. Is there a bus anywhere I can throw her under? Stacy, we love you, honey. Just having a little fun. It's good to be back. I'm not sure what happened between Sunday and Wednesday, but somebody sure went out of town or got sicker than they were. We had a few folks who were not feeling well, and they didn't want to get back out too soon, so we're going to let them slide tonight, right? Because we might have to have a sick night one night, and we'll take it, right? If you're sick, don't come, right? You take a sick night because you could. It could be something, and you all know I'm not one of those that gets on the bandwagon for fear, but, you know, if you don't feel well and you think you're contagious, best thing to do is stay at home. I am going to take up an offering, though, because I had forgot to give my tithes in for this last month, and I'm going to give my tithes in tonight because it is the end of the year. And Nick, why don't you take up the offering tonight? You're up here handy. I like to put old Nick to work. Yeah, anybody got a prayer request? Three-year-old son. Oh, man. Let him know we're praying for him, will you, when you, Stacy? Yeah. I was afraid she wasn't feeling well when I saw her last time. She wasn't Hannah. Anybody else? Brenda Cole. Yeah. Okay. And remember Jack Brooks. Jack's still waiting to see what happened with the biopsy of the surgery that they did. And that's tough, waiting to see if you're in cancer, you just don't know what to think. So let's pray for Jack. He's a good man. Anybody else? Okay, let's bless this offering, Nick. Would you do that? Amen. Tell you what I'm probably going to do, because I felt this was necessary since the Lord put it on my heart to do this as a last service in 2022. And God doesn't pay a whole lot of attention to days. He's not in days. He's here for us, but we do. And we always talk about the new year coming up and what's going to happen. Did you make any New Year's resolutions? And I say, no, don't make them. They're just, you break them, you know. But we can make up our minds that we're going to do some things better in the next year. And if you want to call it a resolution, that's okay. If it helps to do that, we can sure do that. This has to do with the way things began slowly, and this happened because of the water situations we've had here recently. I don't know if any of y'all had any water issues around your house or not, but a lot of people did. And when they got to digging around where the leaks were, they found more than they really thought they would. They were finding rot in some of the spaces where the leak sprang, and they found a lot of rotten wood. And I've done a couple houses where we were trying to repair and replace. And when you dig in, especially if it's a bathroom floor and there's been a leak around the tub or the commode or something, you're gonna find rot. And when you find rot, it's usually too far gone for you to do much except tear it out and redo it. And that's what you do. Now, I'm talking about rotten wood. You have a leak around your gutter because the gutter's not fitting right, not coming down where the roof line is, and the water's running down around and under and down. If you've got a vinyl house, it gets in behind the vinyl and gets into the wood. Or if it's a brick house, water will find a way to get in about anywhere. Yeah, guarantee you it will. And so we know that when water gets in and you don't detect it and it stays a long time, or in some cases people detect they've got a leak but they just don't do anything about it. See, that's another message there. Right. Am I talking about people allowing leaks to happen in their lives and don't do anything about it, don't pay any attention to it, and then it gets so bad you have to tear it up and redo it? It's a whole lot better if we do preventative maintenance and make sure that these things aren't happening, but they do. And the sad thing is that the water never stops. Okay, in life. Yeah. Life doesn't stop. Right. And the things that happen in life don't stop. And the things that we could do something about, maybe we could. And I'm just going to give you some scripture and say a few things that might help you. And then next Wednesday night, I'm going to turn the whole bucket loose on those that show up next Wednesday night. But you'll already have a head start, see. Tonight, I'm just going to give you the highlights. How you like that? You like highlights? Okay, but this is a good analogy for how things sneak up on us. And I don't want things to sneak up on us here at the church, and we have to dig and find out that there's some rot in the wood, right? And we have to tear it out and replace it with new wood. But if you do, that's what you do. Nothing, it's not life-threatening to have leaks and to have wood rot because you don't detect what's going on. It's when it happens and you see it, then you do something about it. I bet there's been people who have not done anything about it and they just kept going on and say, well, I walked around it for a couple of years. I tiptoed over it and then one day they fall through the floor and have to go to the emergency room. You think I'm just still talking about wood? No, I'm not. I'm talking about lives and living, and that's just the way it is. So rot's not a good thing. I never did like rot. Did you? There were some rotten people in the Bible. Their lives were rotten. They were rotten for a lot of different reasons, and we called them Pharisees. Pharisees were rotten. The Bible says they were. They look good on the outside. You may have nice brick front on your house, and behind that brick there may be some rotten wood. You may have vinyl siding and it looks really good, whatever color it is, and you might think, boy, my house looks good. It may look good, but on the inside there could be some problems going on. So I'm saying to you, if you know about them, take care of them. And if you don't, one of these days you'll find out that, yeah, there is a problem there. And then don't just let it go. Fix it. Yeah. That's what we do in life, right?
Right.
So if you'll turn to Matthew 23, I'm going to let you read all of that you want to this next week until next Wednesday night. Okay? And tonight I'm going to cover a few verses to give you an idea here of those people who suffer spiritual rot. We'll call it spiritual rot. There you go. Spiritual rot. Rot's not good, and if it's spiritual rot, it's certainly not good. Rot doesn't look good, even. It not only is it not safe, not only is it not attractive, I shouldn't have said that. I'm going to say the same thing. It just doesn't look good. I don't like to see rotten wood. Throw it away. Get rid of it. Okay, look at verse 3 of Matthew chapter 23. Here's what he says. All therefore, whatsoever they bid, you observe. In other words, they're saying, here's what you need to do. There are people who are religious in our churches who think they have all the questions figured out. They have all the answers, and they know exactly what to do religiously. But we don't talk in that realm of religious. We talk in the realm of spiritual. And if you get into religion, it can get into a lot of things. But these people were religious. The Pharisees were wholeheartedly religious. They looked really, really good. In fact, if you saw them out here in your everyday travels, you'd say, man, I wonder where they go to church. They look really good. It's when you take a closer look. Am I talking about rot? It's when you take a closer look and you find out that what you see is not what you get. Yeah. So in verse 3, he says, all therefore whatsoever they bid you observe, that observe and do. But do not ye after their works, for they say, do and do not. And the people who would say to you, here's what you do. Well, they would say, here's what you do. Not what I do. What you do. And that doesn't work. And that's a drip in the congregation. And he says to us, don't listen to that and don't do anything with it. I don't want you to do what they say to do. I want you to do what I say to do. Yeah. If you do what man says to do, it's going to become a drip in your everyday life. Then he said, I want you to make religion, or this is what they did, the Pharisees, they made religion unbearable. Right. It became a burden because they were saying, you got to do this, you got to do this, you got to do this. Then they refused to follow their own standards, right. And they had high standards. I don't deal very well with people who have their own high standards and you don't meet up to them. And when you find out that their standards aren't really the way they live anyway, but that's what he's talking about here. If you get there, you got to drip. And after a while, it'll just continue to drip and it'll make a mess of things. Read verse 4. It says, for they bind heavy burdens and grievous to be borne and lay them on men's shoulders, but they themselves will not move them with one of their fingers. Not going to help you with it, but they'll certainly point out your problems, which will become a burden to you if you listen to them. We just need to read the Word of God, listen to what God says, and go on about our business. Right. If somebody is coming in trying to tell you what to do and what not to do, don't listen to it. Move on. If it doesn't square up with the Word of God, it's not worth anything anyway. And then in verse 6, he says, do the things. Well, let me read it. And love the uppermost rooms. Here's what they were, the Pharisees. They loved the uppermost rooms at feast and the chief seats in the synagogue. This is what they liked for you to see. They liked to be at the head of the table. I don't like the head of the table, and that's not any, I'm not bragging about not being the head of the table. At my house, my kids know where I sit. And I don't know if it's the head of the table, but they probably see it that way. Because when they come over, they know they don't mess with that spot. That's where I sit, and that's where I'm going to sit. That's just it. Now, if a visitor comes in and sits down there, I'm not going to say you're in the headmaster's seat. I'm just going to say you go ahead and sit right there. I'm not even going to mention it, actually, because that's not my business to do that. But if we're people who just want to come in and make a hoopla of ourselves and look good and try to get positions in the church where you can be influential with others, and maybe it makes you look bigger than you really are. There's a little leak there. If that's where we are, there's a drip there, and it's a spiritual drip, and it's going to cause some spiritual rot if it continues. I'm not going to cover some of these others. Let me cover one or two more here. They make followers of themselves, but they never give them the truth of the Word of God that would make them true followers of Christ. Follow them, not Christ. And I would say to you, follow Christ, not them. Because if you're following man, you're going to be creating a drip, and after a while, it's going to turn into rot, and it's going to have to be fixed. Anything that man does, it eventually has to be fixed. Jimmy said amen. It is. They were the kind of people that majored on the minor and minored on the major. And that doesn't work. That's a drip also. Look great on the outside, but rotten on the inside. That's where they were. Now, that's in Matthew chapter 24. Or 23, I'm sorry. Now, let's look at Psalms 119. Now, I don't know if you all ever get into the Psalms or not. If you do, you're on holy ground. Psalms has to do with your relationship with God. And I want you to look at Psalm. Do you ever deal with Psalm 119? If you've got your Bible there, open it up, because I'm going to show you a little something about Psalm 119. You may have picked up on it, and you may not have picked up on it. But what we're going to take a look at here tonight is Psalm 119, verses 9 through 16. Now tell me what you tell. Just looking at your Bible, tell me what you see about this Psalm 119. Just look at it. The whole thing, both pages, wherever your Bible's open, what do you notice that is the same? Do you see Psalm 119 broken up in sections? If you just look down at it, count the first 8 verses in there. Well, I just gave you the number. Count to the number 8 and see if that's not the end of that first section. Now count 9 to 16. How many is that? It's 8. Now from 17 to 24. They're all 8s. There's 8 verses in each section. And it's all about the Word. It's all about the Word of God. So you can't go wrong hanging out in Psalm 119 for a long, long time. Because, let me just get into this. Because these 8 verses right here from 9 to 16, you will say, man, I've heard that all my life. I didn't realize, though, that Psalm 119 did this. But it does. And here's what it says. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? Now, if you find the rotten wood, what are you going to do about it? You going to fix it? You got to do something. You got to do something with it. What I'm giving you out of the Psalm 119 is a tool to fix the problem. Sometimes I go to do things and I don't have the right tools to do it, and it's a problem. So I have to either go to Lowe's or make do with whatever I've got. And making do doesn't always do. I can tell you that right now. But here, I'm giving you the tool. Don't need tools. You need a tool, and it's like my Swiss Army knife. It'll do anything. Right? Here, you get those little pliers for you give people for Christmas. You know, this thing will do anything. It's got little wrenches and pliers and scissors and everything, just kind of like a Swiss Army, but it'll do anything. Well, I'm not talking about tools. I'm talking about a tool. The tool is what we're talking about right here. Watch this. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? If he's going to fix the rotten wood, he's going to have to cleanse the area, put new wood in, and take care of the situation. So, wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. That's how you, it'll even stop the leak. I'm big on that stuff they sell on TV, where you can get it in tape or spray, or they've got it all now. When they first came out, you had to actually paint it on, I think. Now, man, you can spray it and you can get it in different colors and everything. That stuff works. It does. We had a leak over here on the White House, and I was up there on the front of that bay window that you see over there, and it was leaking around that bay window, and I got a can of that stuff and went up there, and I sprayed all around that thing. I haven't seen a leak yet. And that's been, what, 4 or 5 years ago, I guess, or more, and there's not been another leak, and all I did was spray that thing real good, that stuff, and, buddy, it's hung in there. So I'm telling you that if you want to get the job done and get it fixed, here's what you do. You take the Word of God, and you take heed to it. Yeah. You don't just read it. You take heed to it because it's an important tool. Then he says in verse 10, so to take heed to it, you saturate yourself in it. You absorb the Word of God. You take it in and pay a lot of attention to it. Verse 10, he says, with my whole heart have I sought thee. Oh, let me not wander from thy commandments. Now, there are many words in here that you'll see that have to do with word, and commandments is one of them. When he mentions the commandments, most people immediately want to go to the 10. Well, it's not always the 10. The commandments are the Word of God from Genesis to Revelation. The statutes are the Word of God from Genesis to Revelation. The Word is from Genesis to Revelation. Anything that he uses that pertains to the Word, and commandments is one of them. He said, oh, let me not wander from thy commandments. Let me pay attention to where I am. Make sure that I don't go off track or off trail. Now we're fixing the rotten situation. Amen? Right. Now you're fixing the rotten situation after you found out what was going on. We don't like rot. We want to get rid of it. So this is the way you get rid of it. Verse 11 says, thy word, come on, Jimmy, help me. Thy word have I hid in mine heart, that I might not sin against thee. How many of y'all have heard that verse of scripture? Did you know it came from right here? Could you name? I know that verse and I know exactly where it is. It's in Psalm 119, verse 11. That's it. Don't forget that, because that's an important verse of scripture. Thy word have I hid in my heart. I stuck it in there, not to hide it from other people, but I hid it so that nobody can mess with my mind when I'm dealing with my Lord, because this is his word. He's talking to me, and I'm hiding it in there where I can get it at any time. I know the password. Thy word have I hid in mine heart, that I might not sin against thee. Yeah. Then he says in verse 12, blessed art thou, O Lord, teach me thy what? Statutes. It's all about the word. Every bit of it, the whole Psalm 119 is all about the word. And when he uses these words, that's exactly what he's doing. Now, look at verse 13. With my lips have I declared all the judgments of what? Of thy mouth. So is judgments his word also? It is. It is. Every one of these is talking about his words. I have rejoiced in the next verse. I have rejoiced in the way of thy testimonies. What's his testimonies? It's his word. It's not something you give at a service on a Wednesday night in 2022. It's his word. Whenever you read his word, you're reading the testimony of God. This is God speaking. I have rejoiced in the way of thy testimonies as much as in all riches. And we know what he says about his word and how rich it is, finer than the finest gold. Oh, it's sweeter than honey. You just can't get enough of it. It's the best thing ever happened to you. If we're gonna fix the rot, this is how we do it. This is how we do it with the word. And for 34 years, I have been preaching, get in the word, stay in the word, because the word is how you fix the rot. Never used it that way exactly. This is the first time actually, and that was because of all this rotten wood people been finding here lately because of all the busted pipes and things. But I was glad God gave it to me. And in verse 15, he says, I will meditate in thy precepts. What's precepts? Word. His word. See, don't make it hard. It's real easy when you know. I will meditate in thy precepts and have respect unto all thy ways. You see, in his precepts, he tells us all that we need to do and not do. And what he says is, and I have respect unto thy ways. I'm going to not only listen to it, I'm going to heed it, I'm going to apply it, I'm going to make it a part of my everyday life, and I know where I'm going to be. And then in verse 16, he says, I will delight myself in thy, there's that word again, statutes. I will not forget thy word. Not going to do it. And you say, well, how could you forget the word? We do it all the time, folks. We do it all the time. If you don't read your Bible, I have to say this about Susie's mom. Every time I went to visit them, her Bible stayed right by her side. And her devotional book was right there. She read constantly. She did. She loved the word. And she knew what it was to read the word and heed it. And it was a very holy thing to her, the word of God is and was and is to every one of us, or it should be. Maybe we could work on that this next year. What I was going to do tonight, and I'm still going to do it because I'm going to leave that alone because there's a whole lot of stuff there that I want to get into, but I want to get into it with more of our Wednesday night crowd. So this could have been a bad night for folks, and they just couldn't make it here. So you got the beginning, okay? Now, next Wednesday night, we're going to give them the whole both barrels. Everybody will get it all, but it's good. It's good stuff. So it's not going to be anything bad. It's going to be good. It's not one of those things where I'd bring the ball bat, you know, and get a size 34. If y'all know, a size 34 is a pretty good size ball bat. You can sure hit a home run with it. But I just want to be practical with what we do. I want it to be a part of our everyday life. It's worthwhile. It's worthwhile for us to learn how to get into the Word of God and fix the leaks and get rid of the rotten wood so that we don't have problems that we could avert in 2023. I'm looking forward to a good 2023, aren't you?
Yes.
I am. I'm looking for God to do things right here inside these walls in 2023. Now, Les and his crew might not be here tonight because they went to bowling. Now, I don't say they're bowling now. I think they went sometime today. He's been out with kids all day. They probably wore him out. He's not used to that. I could have told him because he's never done that before. I'm afraid for those kids. Les might turn loose on them. No, they'll do good. But I wanted to say, and I might still do it next week since we're very sparse, and I told Jimmy and Angie, I was going to ask the ones who were here about any negative or positive statements you could make that we could build on, and how maybe we take something that we do well and make it better, or something that we don't do at all that you could see, since you come with fresh eyes, you could see that it might just help us in doing some things around the church. So if you see something that we could do in a positive or a negative way, I'd like for you to just say so. We're just talking. This is not a very formal get-together. It's very informal. And if you would like to say a few things about things you just feel would be really good if we would do it, or that if what we're doing, you say, if we just carry this a step farther, you know, I believe we could make it even better, or something like that. Does anybody, have I talked long enough for you to get an idea? Yeah.
And it's just tickled us, and it really has changed our lives in what, 4 months we've been here. And we're just tickled to no ends and just wanting to keep going and going. We like the way you do things. I don't see a negative.
Amen. Could you say that again? Scott, would you turn on the recorder? We'll record it and play it back for them Sunday morning. No, well, thank you for that, Angie. I appreciate that. And it does make a difference when you come into a congregation and you feel comfortable, and there's good things happening. Of course, the good things that we do come from this. If it's not based here, it's not worth anything. When we do anything like taking off and going down to Pigeon Forge, or going to Dollywood, or, well, we haven't been to Dollywood, have we? Or we take the kids, you know, out to roller skating or ice skating or see the lights or something like that. They ought to understand that we do it because we want to glorify the Lord. And you can have a good fun time together at the same time, but we ought to always be glorifying the Lord, always, when we do. Anybody else got a negative? It's okay to have a negative. I've had negatives. When you come in, sometimes, have you ever come in and said, man, I wish we'd do this, or I wish we'd do that, you know. If we just do this, it'd be much better. Let me give you, for instance, I know how to prime a pump. When we park, we have a street parking out here. And when we park, I had asked those who weren't handicapped to park further up the street, or, you know, and leave the spaces close to the front of the church open for visitors and handicap, and it wore me out. I could not get people who weren't handicapped to park somewhere else except right in front of the church. We'd have people get out and run, and you know, and then here somebody comes along with a wheelchair, and they have to park up a block away or down here in this rock, you know, and get up there. And I'm saying, man, we need to be more sensitive about the people who are coming in. That's not all bad to say that, because we just do it sometimes without giving any thought to it. But that's I'm just giving you an idea about negatives, and you, if you fix it. Now, John had a sign made, and handicapped parking, and he's got it, and we need to get it up, because what I want to do is I want to put that sign right over here at this walkway where the fellowship hall goes down to the street, right there, and to that telephone pole. From that walkway to that telephone pole, if you're not handicapped, you go on around and get you another place parked somewhere else. Farther on up the block, you might have to walk about 50 more paces. But it's okay. I want us to take care of our, because we have an unusual situation here. We don't have a big paved parking lot where people can have their choice of 10 or 15 parking spaces. We have to work at it. So I'm just telling you, this is how I feel about it, and I want you to feel the same way so we can kind of work that in. Now, that's about my negative. What do you think about it? Do you like that? Okay, what else? Anybody got a positive or a negative? Angie, thank you for that positive. That made me feel good. Now I probably killed it all with the parking situation. We're a big click.
We've not got a click over here, and a click over there, and a click back there.
Yeah, doing their own thing.
Like that.
Yeah.
One thing I'll say, maybe to enhance, is, and I don't know if you ever thought about, and it ain't no problem to me, but ever thought about getting a camera, drop-down camera.
Sure have. We've already, Nick, thank you for that. Thank you for bringing it up. We've already discussed that. In fact, your father-in-law brought that up one night here, but we had already mentioned it. Tom had said maybe we ought to do that, you know, so we don't have to deal with the Facebook and the camera, the phones and everything. And it can be set up to where Scott and John can run it from right back there in the sound room, and never have to worry about it. Wouldn't have to have a phone sticking up here in the front of us and everything. Of course, if that's all you've got, that's what you do.
Right.
It's kind of like me preaching before we ever had intercom or had these things. Mics. Yeah, you just had to do what you had to do, and you did it with what you had to do it with. Yeah. Anybody else? Yeah, thank you, Nick, for that, because we are thinking in that area. And God's blessed us. We're really close to paying this White House off over here, and that'll be gone in maybe another year. We could do it sooner, actually, if we really put our minds to it. But God's blessing us with our tithes and offerings, and people see the need to give. And another thing that I'm seeing happening, and I think I brought it up when Barry Simpson came and did his estate planning thing here at the church, and myself and three or four more people got involved with it to set up their estate so that when they pass away, the government can't come in and get involved in their estate. It just smooth transition right on into the person you have down there as a person who can take care of it. So there's nothing there. And then what you do is you leave some or all, if you don't have any kids. And we have a couple people who are leaving everything they've got to the church when they pass. And I thank God for that. And Les has already been designated to be the one to take care of mine, and when he knows what comes out first. And what comes out first comes right here to Liberty Fellowship Church. And I believe we ought to recognize the church that we worship in, church where our kids have been taught about the Lord. What more important could people leave money to the dogs? I love dogs. Don't I, Stacy? I'd love a hairless dog. Stacy has one now. But I see in the paper all the time, leave money to the animal shelter. I'm not against animal shelters, but goodness gracious, let's leave money to where it'll do some good for eternal lives, and the dogs will be taken care of. They will. Amen? That's good preaching. I don't know where I'm going to get that scripture from yet, but I'll find something. Anybody else got anything negative or positive or anything? But I'm glad you brought that up. Now that y'all know we've been looking at it, it would be a camera that would be right back there on that wall, and instead of the phone up here, and it would be YouTube, Scott. Yeah. Okay. Anybody else? Nobody? Come on. We're certainly not that perfect. Okay. Would somebody make a move that everybody smile before you leave? He made a move that we all smile. Do I hear a second? Okay, all in favor, smile. And stand, please. And we'll be dismissed with a word of prayer. And we'll enhance, as Nick uses that word, we'll enhance this message next Wednesday night, okay? And you'll see what I mean when you get here. Okay, let's be dismissed in prayer. Jimmy, would you do that, please?